Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 7 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, taking that fortress update. Man, office stole the problem. Renogen got some, they're getting their funding. They're finally moving on to the getting funding for phase two. Evan Walker from 361 Asset Management, state of the local consumer. We chatted last year, he was worried, and I think the consumer is cracking. And then just CEO Dean Moore, trends they're seeing from retirees post their recent survey. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headline from Reuters: Musk threatens to tear up a Twitter deal over material breach. He's complaining about the bots, but there's a $1 billion break fee if he walks away. I think we can expect lots of lawyers before finally he settles. Business day, Hulamin's share price tumbles as takeover deal crumbles. Share down about a quarter from where it was earlier. This is still up on sort of pre the announcement, but the potential buyer is saying, thanks, but no. Morning markets, US was green. S&P up 0.3, NASDAQ up 0.4%. Asia is mixed. Sydney down 0.8 and Tokyo up 0.4. Commodities overnight, red. Gold, $1,844 an ounce. Brent, $120.28 a barrel. Platinum, $1,014. Palladium, $2,023. Rand, $15.48. Top 40 opening call. Red open about 425 points down. What's it? About 0.2%. That is 10 cent trades up 1.1% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyaha, independent analyst. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. A quiet day yesterday, but perhaps the key point from my sense, the Fortress trading update. Lots of good in there, and office is small in their life, but yo, office continues to struggle.
Morning, Simon. Office has been struggling not just for Fortress, but all around. I mean, you look at companies like GrowthPoint and that sort of thing. Office has been struggling since the pandemic. We've definitely seen a shift in how people are working, and that's been felt by the property companies and by the rates of this country. For rate, thankfully, that's only about 4.5% of their portfolio in terms of assets, but it's definitely something that they are also looking to, they're downplaying it as well. I mean, they're saying that, well, not downplaying it, but they're saying that they're kind of not concerned about it. It's not considered as core to their property portfolio. And you can definitely see that that's how they're treating it as well.
Yeah, the rest of the update from them was fairly good. I mean, logistics really has had a booming pandemic.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, once they get the Eastport plant or Eastport distribution center online for pick and pay at the end of 2023, that'll add to that as well. Mm-hmm. Logistics has been their best performer in terms of the spaces, all the sectors in their portfolio. They're really, really happy with that. Retail as well, their vacancies as well on logistics have been have decreased. Retail vacancies have sort of stayed the same. But I think, their logistics business is doing really well for them, and they can see that. And they're plowing more resources into that by getting rid of non-core assets within the portfolio to optimize that portfolio.
Renogen, small little stock I hold. They've got their gas and helium operation down in Virginia in the Free State. Phase one is currently being commissioned and brought on stream. The trick was always going to be funding for phase two, which is about $800 million. So a lot of cash. But they're raising that money. They announced yesterday they've signed a debt retainer letter. They haven't got it, but from operations who've already lent the money before, looks like they're going to manage to raise debt and capital.
This is why we love Renogen. I mean, you and I are both holding the stock. We've been talking about this. I've been punting Renogen for quite some time. The fact that they were able to verify those reserves for phase one just put them on the right foot. It set them on the right course. They got I think it was a billion in March from the Central Energy Fund. And since then, I mean, it's I'm hoping this turns into our Cinderella story. Hey, you remember, I think you had a conversation with Stefano Morani in March around the importance of energy security. And that, I mean, this is a step in that direction. This is a step in the right direction. We've seen the concerns we're having from our own energy sector. We've seen the impact of things like higher oil prices on the fuel market and on consumers at the end of the day. And things, I mean, a project like this goes a long way towards energy security within this country. And it proves the viability of the resources that we have here. So I think I'm really excited at the fact that they were able to get that letter for, I think the letter is what, 500 million off the 800 that they're looking at. So it's fantastic. I mean, we can't wait to see phase two come online. We can't wait to see them get everything up and running. And they're moving at a rapid pace. They're not dragging their feet with getting all these things online and operational. They're actually moving at a significant pace, which is something that we definitely need, but something that other energy sectors within the country could learn from.
Yeah, I take your point around that. It's that rapid pace. I mean, you know, $800 million is no small number, but they're absolutely making it happen and getting it to it. And as you point out, it's around energy security and, of course, exports. I mean, you know, just helping our balance of trade. But I love that point. This is why we love Renergen. Jimmy Moyoho, independent analyst, as always, appreciate your early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Evan Walker from 361 Asset Management. Evan, appreciate the early morning. We chatted twice last year around the state of the local consumer, concerns that you had. There was certainly some early weakness, but they were hanging on. And the 350 Rand grant was extended. But now, looking at sort of where we are, June of 2022, transport costs, food inflation, interest rates rising, the consumer must by this point be in, frankly, a perilous position.
Simon, hi, good morning. Yes, it doesn't look like it's getting any better. There's no doubt. I mean, if you look at sort of global dynamics, I mean, I just happened to read this morning that even in the UK, consumption levels falling quite dramatically, you know, even in sort of non-discretionary items such as food, etc., as inflation's kicking in across the globe. So, yeah, I mean, we're not sitting in isolation. It's an entire global crisis brought on about by what we've seen in energy costs, spurred obviously higher by this Ukrainian war, Russia-Ukrainian war, and obviously global dynamics at this point, which is having a huge impact on global consumerism.
And I mean, the obvious hit here is you know, retailers, and I want to touch on food separately in a moment, but, you know, I'm thinking that the fashion retailers and the like, I mean, there's a bunch, and I mean, I even wonder about the, you know, the likes of Clicks, who yes, great operating model, but, you know, sitting on high ratings, and consumers, you know, that discretionary spend is just vanishing.
Yeah, I mean, those ratings dumbfounded us, Simon. I mean, you know, it's been an unbelievable business. It really has compounded over the last 15 years. It's stellar returns for investors, but it's an exceptionally high-rated stock on a global comparative basis. And at some point, we think that rating has to come down. I mean, it's done an exceptional job of growing earnings for shareholders, but to us, it's just too expensive relative to the outlook going forward. I mean, we have in this country, we had up until 2020, you know, significant tailwinds from public sector wage increases, etc. in this country. But, I mean, those tailwinds have come to an end. And unfortunately now, you know, we need to normalize, and these stock levels certainly haven't normalized.
Yeah, but I mean, it's click, some great operation, but still on a historic PE of around 35 times. That is onerous. You mentioned food, because I would have thought that perhaps the more discretionary and certainly, non-discretionary, and certainly food non-discretionary would be more robust, particularly the likes of ShopRite, who are great operators, who have the different brands for different LSM points. But perhaps there's some weakness coming there, because again, you know, ShopRite's not quite a clicks in terms of a rate, but it's not a cheap share.
No, it's not cheap, but I mean, it's shown itself to be very resilient. It's also shown itself to migrate very fast to its online capabilities and take significant market share in that space. I mean, we think, you know, the likes of Spar has been left behind from a market share perspective, just in that territory, not being able to keep up with the likes of Checkers and ShopRite, and certainly, you know, taking share away. Even share away from the big guys, the likes of Macro, etc., in this environment where online has become so prevalent, and obviously still accelerating in the local dynamic. And there's a sort of, you know, the jury is still out over the next 12, 24 months with people returning to work if convenience comes back a little stronger and online drops off a little bit. So, you know, we're not quite sure what that dynamic sort of will look like, but there's no doubt. Incrementally online will continue to grow in the South African environment, and Checkers has done a phenomenal job of taking share. So we still think that's a good share. We still hold that share in our portfolios. We still think it's, you know, it's leveraged to, you know, relatively high inflation, you know, continual, you know, strength coming from market share gains, and then they've done an exceptionally good job, you know, both exiting areas of the world where they don't think they can add value, and bringing capital back to South Africa, which has, you know, been long overdue from South African retailers, and, you know, continue to do an exceptional job in the South African environment. So that's a share we still do hold, Simon, in the portfolio.
I saw a comment a week or so ago about the likes of ShopRite, who the comment was they have absolute pricing power unless there's shortages. Until there's shortages, they are those the pricing power. Is this, I mean, broadly, if we look at some of those retailers who are expensive, who are looking at risk, I mean, is are you and your team looking at shorting opportunities here, or is this just a case of let's avoid them at this point in time?
You know, it's difficult to short very good shares until you see a crack in the system. We haven't seen a crack yet. So, I mean, you know, we've still got, even for the likes of Clicks, I mean, we've still got, you know, single exit pricing from the drug side still coming through quite strongly. We're obviously going, you know, back into environment, a back-to-work environment where people through the winter will get sicker again. You know, people's kids are back at school. So there's still this you know, back-to-work initiative coming through at the front end of these businesses. So we're a little scared to short these still. We think they're expensive. We're not long these stocks. You know, Dis-Chem, another one, which is a highly rated share in this environment. I mean, the turnover growth in the last trading updates was pretty good. I mean, running at about 14-15%. So these are good numbers coming out of retailers still. So, you know, we're reluctant to short shares until we see, you know, a definitive crack coming. And I think that crack will come at some point at a margin level to us, you know, not so much at a turnover level, but certainly at a margin level. And our big worry, funny enough, is jumping back to the food retailer, as you said, it will be shortages. You know, we haven't seen significant shortages yet in the South African environment. I mean, it's a thing playing out now globally, but yet we've yet to see that from our supply chains, which have been quite resilient, but there could be some pretty big shortages coming down the way in the next 6 to 8 months.
We'll leave it there, but I like your point there. There's no crack yet. Don't try and get ahead of it. And as Evan Walker at 361 Asset Management says there, keep an eye on those margins. That's going to be the point. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Your take on that local consumer and the pressure. It is tough out there. It absolutely is. The question is, you know, just how tough, and is the local consumer starting to crack? Evan says, not yet, but man, it is tough, and it is close. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs. no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Dean Moore, CEO at Just, talking around their Just Retirement Insights for 2022. Dean, appreciate the early morning time. Your recent survey shows that retirees, sort of the flexibility around income and the desire for that flexibility is reducing. They're now sort of focusing more on certainty. I suppose that makes some sense in tricky times. You were just chatting around how tough it has been a consumer. Is this seeing a sort of a focus towards the likes of guaranteed annuities and the like, sort of saying you'll get some income for life rather than the more sort of living annuity?
Yes, Simon, good morning. It's not surprising, the results. You know, everything you were talking about now, it's tough for consumers and it's even tougher for pensioners. Because your salary stops when you stop working, but your expenses continue. So we have actually seen a consistent preference since 2018 in our surveys that people's priority is to have a certain income to cover essential expenses, especially when so many things are unpredictable in markets, inflation, COVID in China, war in Europe, but it all impacts on South African pensioners. South African pensioners are they're proud. They don't want to be a burden on their children. And yet, when you look at the survey results, 57% say that if they're in financial difficulty, they will need to turn to their children. And it doesn't take much to put them in that financial difficulty, because 70% say that a 10% fall in the market will impact their lifestyle. So hence the first need. Ensure that we have an income for life, so we're not a burden on our children.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some, truthfully, some scary numbers. I mean, you make the point. I mean, the stark reality is that majority of people, and this isn't a South African phenomenon, this is global, simply haven't saved enough. What struck me from the survey and really stood out at me is a lot of folks seem not to be doing some sort of basic financial calculations, not talking to financial advisors. In other words, almost in a sense, flying a bit blind and not getting what might be distressing information, but at least information which you can work with.
Yes, absolutely. And so just a simple rule of thumb, which I think is helpful for people, is that you need at least 20 times your annual expenses when you get to retirement as mm-hmm. a pot of money, if you're going to be able to live sustainably, or 240 times your monthly expenses. And that's for somebody who's not really paying tax. So if you're a taxpayer, that probably goes up to, say, 25 times your annual expenses or 300 times your monthly expenses. When you look at the survey results, most people have saved probably half of that. And rather than waiting for this accident to happen at some point in retirement, it's better to do the calculations early. Then at least you can set a budget and know that this is the budget within which I need to live. And then there's some sensible financial planning you can do around that, because you can take one pot of money to make sure that at least you can meet those essential expenses, mm-hmm. you know, your food, your groceries, your accommodation. And the cheapest way to do that is through a guaranteed annuity. And that income is guaranteed for life. And then what you've got left over, then you can comfortably know that you've got flexibility around that. You can think about a legacy around that second pot of money. We'd really like to see more people taking financial advice, because knowing what's coming down the line, you can do something about it and use your finances sensibly.
Yeah, and the other point I took from it is I don't it's sort of maybe I can't think of the phrase for it, but 90% of people think their health is brilliant, but a majority of people think their life expectancy is going to be less than average. I mean, I appreciate the point. It's tough there, but there are some hard decisions that perhaps we're simply not making properly because of a lack of sort of the stark realism.
Yeah, and it is an interesting contradiction that through the results. So if you're in more favourable health, then you should be living longer than expected. And somebody reaching retirement, just from the normal mortality statistics, a male is expected to live to sort of 83, a female to 87. The longer you live, the more likely that you'll get past that age, because actually there's about 50% of people that will die before that age, and the other 50% are going to live longer. So people are doing their planning. You need to be planning into your 90s or even to age 100 to be comfortable about your plan.
Yeah, and the point that you make, that really stands out. And every time someone says it to me, and I know we know all about it, it kind of rattles me a bit. Your salary stops when you retire. That's the big issue. Your salary stops. Dean Moore, Just SA CEO, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. Chatting with Nick Kunze yesterday about Jamie Dimon comments. He was saying economic hurricane is coming. Nick, of course, had listened to the whole speech and said, yeah, he also said that, you know, it's hard to predict the future. We asked you, what do you think? Is he overblowing it? Two-thirds of you said, nope, seems about right, with a third of you saying, we will be fine. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking banking.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.